It's likely the middle of 2012 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. While most of the world enjoys blossoming flowers, Southeast Asia has its unique aroma, the durian. This fruit's intense smell can make some first-timers feel queasy. The Tan family, like many in the region, is fond of durian, likely fresh from their own farm. But on this day, something's off. Young Anthony Tan appears anxious.
Anthony is a third-generation member of the Tan Chong Motors Group, a family with vast wealth built on assembling and distributing Nissan vehicles throughout Southeast Asia, a region representing 9% of the global population. Tradition dictates that each generation contributes to the family business. But Anthony, he has different plans.
Pa?
He began hesitantly, sensing the weight of the family history bearing down on him.
I've been thinking about something new, something different.
His father, a tall, imposing figure, lifted his eyes from the newspaper and glanced at Anthony. A subtle eyebrow raised. He set the paper down, giving his youngest son his full attention.
What is it? I want to create an app. An app that connects taxi drivers directly with passengers. An ecosystem where people can hail taxis with a tap on their phones.
His father stared blankly, clearly taken aback.
A tech startup. What do you know about apps and technology? We are an automobile family. We deal with real things, tangible assets. Not this virtual nonsense.
Anthony could feel a tight knot forming in his stomach.
Pa, the world is changing. People are more connected through their phones than ever. I believe this could be the future of transportation. Instead of buying cars, people might prefer hailing them. We have to think beyond cars.
The room's energy changed. It became tenser.
Beyond cars? You always were a dreamer, ever since you were a boy. Always with your head in the clouds.
Years later, Anthony would recount the phrase well.
Head in the clouds.
And use it as a battle cry. Pushing himself to build an app, now known as Grab, that would come to reshape how Southeast Asia thinks of transportation. Through the journey, it would fend off Uber, become a bank, and become worth close to 100 times his entire family's legacy. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 1 of a 4-part series, Taking the Wheel. What is Grab? Ask anyone within Southeast Asia to explain, and they might simply say it's the Uber of Southeast Asia. While many recognize the app as co-founded by Anthony Tan and Tan Hui Ling, these two, despite sharing a surname, are not related and have distinct roles. Anthony frequently engages on LinkedIn and has become the face of Grab, while Hui Ling remains more behind the scenes. Intriguingly, it was Hui Ling's taxi experiences in Kuala Lumpur that sparked the app's concept. Recognizing Grab as the Uber of Southeast Asia gets it partly right. In 2022, the traditional ride-hailing part of Grab accounted for 45% of its revenue. And yet, a Southeast Asian can, in theory, do a lot more on the app. Let's call our user Ahwat.
All right, listener. Here's a glimpse into a day in my 2023 life. Woke up to an empty fridge. Yep, quite the way to start, right? So, I snatched up my phone and got breakfast from Grab. Hopped into a ride to work, but halfway there, coffee cravings hit. So naturally, I ordered one to be waiting for me. Think that's where the drama ends? Oh, no, 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 no. Got to the office and realized, drumroll please, I'd forgotten my gym bag. So I had my ever-reliable roommate dispatch it via Grab. Lunchtime saw me browsing dinner groceries on the app and, almost dropping the ball on a friend's birthday, I whipped out the quick gift voucher. Evening rolled in, and cooking? Nah, another Grab meal it was. And just because I could, before hitting the sheets, I peeked at some investments on the platform. Quite the day, huh? Ever had one like that?
Not quite like that. But anyway, in essence, Ahwat could manage her entire day using Grab, hence its label as a super app. However, practical challenges exist, with cost and habit being primary factors. Since Grab takes a commission from many transactions, a lot of budget-conscious individuals in Southeast Asia might prefer sticking to their usual routines over fully transitioning to Grab. That's why a hefty 90% of Grab's business comes from its mobility and delivery segment, encompassing ride-hailing and food delivery. The remainder is divided equally between financial services and what Grab terms new initiatives. Financial services covers loans, insurance, and investments. New initiatives encompasses other ventures, like Grab's advertising service and cybersecurity.
Overall, considering the distinctions, Grab's segments offer roughly 15 unique products and services distributed throughout the region. Cambodia, Myanmar, and Vietnam account for 8% of Grab's business. The Philippines and Thailand contribute about 17%, with the share nearly equal between them. Singapore and Indonesia each make up 20%. Malaysia, where Grab originated, stands as the top revenue contributor at 36%.
For anyone who's experienced Kuala Lumpur pre-Grab, they'll remember the city's unique taxi system. There, the meter often doubled as decorative art, with fares usually determined by good old-fashioned haggling. Many newcomers have stepped into a taxi only to hear about a conveniently broken meter, followed by a sky-high price quote. Seasoned travelers, wise to the game, would demand the meter from the get-go. But even then, some have found themselves on scenic detours before reaching their intended destination. To avoid the hassle, many just negotiated a fare up front, right down to the exact change. Numerous niche websites ranked Kuala Lumpur's taxis among the world's three worst services, with KL frequently claiming the top spot.
Especially if you ask Tan Hui Ling's mother.
It was Hui Ling's taxi experiences that sowed the seeds for Grab in Anthony's mind. Together, they'd go on to build the region's most valuable app, but not without fighting and clawing their way there.
By the close of 2006, 5 years before Grab's inception, 23-year-old Hui Ling was clocking out from work. Born into a stereotypical Chinese-Malaysian family, Hui Ling's heritage was steeped in the nation's intricate socio-economic fabric. Historically, after the British left Malaysia under indigenous rule, the Malays took the reins. Meanwhile, many Chinese immigrants, having aligned with the British and integrated into the business realm, became Malaysia's commercial titans. Today, if you list the top 10 wealthiest Malaysians, around 9 are of Chinese descent. This economic disparity prompted the introduction of the Bumiputera policy, roughly translated as Son of the Land. Designed to level the playing field, it inadvertently nudged many Chinese Malaysians to double down on their primary edge, economic prowess.
Hui Ling's family was no different, embodying the work ethic of many middle-class Chinese families. Her father plied his trade as a civil engineer, while her mother supported as a stockbroker. Together, they likely infused Hui Ling and her brother with a tenacity and discipline inspired by Confucian values that resonate across the region. Growing up, Hui Ling built a solid foundation. She mastered badminton, achieved a piano diploma, and earned a grade 8 in violin. Her childhood was marked with moments observing her father dismantle hardware. These experiences fostered her love for technical subjects, steering her towards a path less traveled by Southeast Asian Chinese women, a degree in mechanical engineering at the University of Bath. While at Bath, an internship with a pharmaceutical company was a game changer. She realized that even in technical fields, key decisions were made at the managerial level. If she aspired to be a decision maker, she'd have to shift her trajectory.
This epiphany led her to McKinsey in Malaysia, a top-tier consulting firm where our story begins. Given McKinsey's notorious late nights, Hui Ling's family deliberated on the safest way for her to commute.
And if you're wondering why her family played such a pivotal role, remember, in Southeast Asia, family ties run deep, especially concerning daughters. Parents tend to be protective, often second-guessing their daughters' urban adventures. Initially, driving seemed like the solution, but Hui Ling kept nodding off behind the wheel. So, on this day, they're trialing a fresh and hopefully successful commuting solution.
Taxi!
Yelled Hui Ling.
Yeah, where are you going?
Petaling Jaya.
Okay, hop on.
You okay to run the meter?
Yeah, I'll run the meter.
Cautious, Hui Ling sits in the cab, buckles her seatbelt, then slowly begins casual conversations.
So, what's your name, by the way?
Lim.
She subtly reaches for her phone and begins typing to her mother, L-I-M, then adds on the license plate number. The journey from Petaling Jaya to Kuala Lumpur's business core is roughly 30 minutes. On their westward drive, a few landmarks stand out to Hui Ling and her family. Throughout the trip, Hui Ling sent real-time updates to her mother, detailing landmarks she passed and providing a snapshot of her driver. Back home, Hui Ling's mother waited with bated breath for each update.
So far, so good,
she thought. But then, an update was delayed by a minute. Hui Ling's mother couldn't help but let her imagination run wild.
Could my daughter have been taken on a detour to increase the fare? Or worse, had she been robbed, abducted, or worst of all, raped?
A surge of relief washed over her as the phone buzzed again with another update from Hui Ling. It seemed that her daughter was safe, for now. 15 minutes later, Hui Ling finally returned home, opening the door to see her mother stirring from the couch. It seemed like this new solution worked, and it soon became a family ritual, every evening for the next year. Those years where the Tan Hui Ling family operated with a pseudo-GPS tracking system would become pivotal in her life, a memory that would find its way not in Malaysia, but miles away in Cambridge, Massachusetts, at Harvard University. That's where her path converged with Anthony Tan's.
It's the middle of 2012, and Hui Ling was in a course named Business at the Base of the Pyramid. This course delved into the role businesses could play for lower-income groups, which, in Southeast Asia, made up the bulk of the market. Over the past few years, Hui Ling had done so well in McKinsey that they sponsored her MBA to Harvard Business School. Malaysians at HBS are a rarity, with typically no more than two in each class. But this year was different. There were five. As is typical among well-connected Chinese Malaysians, there were whispers about who else was enrolling. The buzz? Anthony Tan would be joining the cohort.
Now, many in Malaysia, and even some in Singapore, know of the Tan Chong Motor Group. This heavyweight, built on the back of Nissan's Southeast Asian operations, stands as one of Malaysia's richest dynasties. And Anthony? He was the heir apparent. While many might have jumped at the chance to get acquainted, Wei Ling was indifferent. She presumed that someone born with a silver spoon might not see eye to eye with her. Their interactions remained limited to brief exchanges at Asian food events. After all, she thought, how hardworking could an heir really be?
Wei Ling, wake up!
Anthony whispered urgently. She stirred, becoming suddenly aware of the professor's gaze.
Oh, no.
She muttered.
How do you always manage to doze off?
That's because...
She smirked.
I have you.
Suddenly, she grabbed his neatly written lecture notes, starting to jot them down for herself. Anthony wasn't what Hui Ling had expected, defying most stereotypes of the wealthy. She'd assumed he'd be somewhat entitled, but he turned out to be the most diligent person in class.
Ironically, it was Hui Ling who often dozed off and found herself borrowing Anthony's notes to stay on track. As the duo spent more time together, they delved into 24 case studies showcasing how diverse companies were achieving triple bottom line outcomes, referring to not just profit as the bottom line, but societal and environmental impact.
One particular case from Kellogg's, the cereal giant, caught their attention. In certain African regions, students have classes outdoors, sitting on grass without proper desks or supplies. These students couldn't afford Kellogg's products. Instead of pushing cereal sales, Kellogg's distributed wooden boards with handles, serving as makeshift desks. These boards featured the iconic Kellogg's Tiger, a move to embed brand loyalty early on. The idea was that as the economy improved, these students, fondly recalling the brand, might become future customers. Some might argue that Kellogg's was being opportunistic, leveraging vulnerable circumstances for brand promotion. But if you were a student in dire need of study materials, would you see this as a bad deal?
Maybe not. It was the first time Hui Ling and Anthony had ever heard of such considerations in detail, and they were left inspired, likely leading to a pivotal conversation.
Anthony, Hui Ling, and their Indonesian friend were seated on the verdant Harvard lawn, enjoying a break. Hui Ling sighed, recounting her recent experience.
Oh, just the other day in KL, I had the most horrible taxi experience. The driver promised to run the meter, but midway, he took a long detour. By the time I reached home, the fare was ridiculous.
The Indonesian friend smirked, nudging Anthony teasingly.
Isn't your family the big car magnate in Malaysia? Didn't your grandpa start the whole Japanese automotive thing there? Ah, feels like a missed opportunity, Anthony.
Come on. Just because we're in the car business doesn't mean I can control every taxi out there, huh?
Yeah. But maybe. What if we try?
Anthony leaned forward, intrigued. Go on.
Remember our launching technology ventures class? I think we could merge tech with taxis. We need a more reliable, efficient system. And our recent class on the business at the base of the pyramid made me think about how we could integrate technology to benefit both drivers and riders, especially in Southeast Asia.
Anthony's eyes lit up.
We could make a huge impact and potentially change the whole landscape of transportation. Okay, here's a crazy idea. The Harvard Business School New Venture Competition. We could test our idea there.
Over the course of HBS, Huiling and Anthony collaborated to conceive an app linking taxi drivers with passengers. This app would ensure fixed pricing, promise drivers consistent riders, and prioritize safety for all. As for their Indonesian friend, the records are murky, but in 2011, Nadiem Makarim was recorded as classmates at Harvard University with Anthony and Huiling. Nadiem would go on to establish Gojek, the Uber of Indonesia, with valuations around $10 billion. A story for later episodes.
When Huiling and Anthony showcased their app concept to professors, they met unexpected skepticism. The main concern? Whether the duo, both non-technical, could execute the vision. A persistent investor rumor even assumes that startups led by MBA graduates tend to be devalued. Undeterred, the pair entered the HBS New Venture Competition. To their astonishment, they clinched the runner-up spot, securing $25,000 in seed funding. Energized by this validation, Anthony decided to head back to Kuala Lumpur to seek financial backing from his family. This move paved the way for the birth of MyTaxi, the precursor to Grab.
Head in the clouds.
Upon returning back home, Anthony had a rude awakening. Turns out both his father and mother had found his idea absurd. An app to serve the bottom of the pyramid seemed like a complete oxymoron. In 2012, most Malaysians who could afford a smartphone were already at the top of the pyramid, with only 33% of the population owning one. Moreover, 40% of households still lacked internet access. It seemed impossible for such an app to exist. Compounding the challenge was the fact that Huiling could not work on the app full-time with Anthony because she had agreed to a 2-year commitment with McKinsey that came along with a sponsorship.
Anthony would recount years later that this point was a watershed of his life, a moment where he saw two distinct paths. One would be easier to take, safe, and would guarantee him a good future. And the other would be pitch black and completely uncertain. But if done right, could potentially enter the history books. He decided he would take the wheel and invested his own money heavily into the business. Seeing her son's determination, Cor Sui Wa, his mother, expressed that while she thought his idea was still ludicrous, she would back him up, becoming the first early investor and company officer. With a weak tether to his family lineage and virtually disowned by his father, Anthony Tan proclaimed,
"I am not going to grovel. I'm going to fight and make sure we win."
From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 1 of a 4-part series, Taking the Wheel. Next on Empires, we'll take the driver's seat as we understand the groundwork laid by both Anthony and Uber's ambitions that would turn Southeast Asia into a street fight between giants. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 2 of our 4-part series, Up for Grabs. Thank you. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.